All right, we roll through on a Wednesday. We welcome in Scott Shanley, who joins us. Quick question. Donovan Raiola has been hired as the offensive line coach here. When you are labeled as the assistant offensive line coach for an NFL team, what are your duties?
Well, a lot of times you're going to be handling a lot of the grunt work for the guy who's in charge of the O-line coach, or doing a lot of the scouting, the tape work, putting together the practice squad scout cards, things like that. So it's not an easy job. There's a lot of hours spent early mornings and late nights when you're in that role in the NFL.
Thoughts on Mickey Joseph being hired?
I love the hire. I mean, obviously Mickey's a Nebraska guy, and I loved watching him growing up. I remember him playing there in Lincoln. But I think what he's done as a coach has been really impressive. Just, you know, being there and covering LSU and watching the type of receivers, the recruiting job he's done. And, you know, everybody always thinks LSU just gets all the five-star kids, and that wasn't the case. Jordan Jefferson, who is playing great for the Vikings, he's a three-star kid. Mickey really developed those receivers in his time there at LSU, so I think it's a tremendous hire by Scott.
How do you, you know, back in the day, when Jack Pierce was living in Louisiana, there was quite the pipeline. What do you think the approach is, and Mickey is all over Louisiana. We've kind of joked, Scott, that it seems like he's offered the entire state of Louisiana a Nebraska scholarship for 22 or 23. What do you think his selling point is right now, instead of being the home state school where everybody knows who you are and they know the history and the players? Now you're wearing a different polo. What do you think his sales pitch is, still in Louisiana, but now representing Nebraska?
It's obviously the tradition of the program and trying to get the program back to what it once was. And a lot, you know, it's been so long that a lot of these kids, they don't know what Nebraska football was. So I think he'll sell the program, let them know what Nebraska football, what the expectation is, how much the fans love football here, how you're almost a rock star when you play college football at Nebraska because there's nothing else. I think that would be a major selling point for him. But, you know, there's plenty of talent in Louisiana. And Louisiana is one of those schools where it's a little bit underfunded as far as, you know, the facilities go. It's not like Texas high school football. They don't pay their high school coaches $130,000, $140,000 a year to coach. And so there is a lot of raw talent in Louisiana. And I think when you look at per capita, and the last time I checked on NFL rosters, per capita, Louisiana led the NFL roster. So there is a lot of talent. Even if you're not getting the five-star kids or the four-star kids who want to go to LSU or they want to go to Alabama or they want to stay in the SEC, there are tons of really good football players across that state. And it helps have a guy like Mickey know where those guys are.
Scott Shanley joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. I almost wanted to text you on Thursday night in the Saints-Cowboys game because I wanted to know, and walk me through, what do you think Marcus Williams was doing when Tony Pollard was running down the sidelines? We all watched it and wondered, okay, what kind of an angle is he going to take? Is he fearful of the cutback? Why doesn't he just go tackle him? From a defensive standpoint, what do you think Marcus Williams was doing while Tony Pollard was just streaking down the sideline?
Well, I think two things. I think, first of all, he underestimated Tony Pollard's speed. Tony Pollard is explosive. There's a reason why Tony Pollard has taken away reps from Zeke Elliott as a running back, because he's a home run hitter. And two, I think Marcus just overthought it. And because he underestimated his speed, lost his angle on him and lost the timing of the tackle. But I think when you're the free safety, you're the last line of defense, your biggest worry is just whiffing on a tackle, and now they score. But he's better off in that situation, just going full speed and using the sideline as an extra defender. And Marcus is a tremendous person, but Marcus has had a lot of plays throughout his Saints career, going back to the Minneapolis Miracle, where you know, angles and timing have not been his best friend. And that's certainly a play he could make. I just think he was really overthinking it.
And you're right. He has a history of, and he's had a really good year, and he's a good tackler. But there have been sometimes, like the other night, where you go, whoa. So how long, like as a defensive player, how long do you play an angle before you say, man, I just got to stop the guy?
It's very rare to see, you know, I was shocked just to see his form that he used, because I know for sure they're not taught that. And a lot of places in the NFL are not taught to, we always call it shoe the chickens, where you just kind of round them and hold them off for a while. That's not how you're taught to play defensive football in the NFL. It is, you understand the angle that you're taking because of the coverage you're in. You understand, you've done it so many times throughout practice, and I know the way they practice there. It really shocked me to see him take that tackling approach, because that approach doesn't exist anywhere I've ever been. So I think in his mind, more so than anything, besides underestimating the angle and losing the angle, he really underestimated Pollard's speed. And he thought he could just kind of squeeze him against the sideline until it was too late and Pollard took off, and then he couldn't catch him.
How everybody's talking about, well, only three passes were thrown in the Monday night game. There was some old-school power football being run by New England. In your opinion, how impressive, with the elements and the game plan, was what New England did on Monday night?
Bill Belichick just continues to find ways to win football games, and everybody has always said he will do anything it takes to win a football game, if it's conventional or unconventional. And, you know, it was impressive. I think going into that game, they looked at the Colts film and saw how well the Colts ran the ball against the Bills and said, you know, we're going to run the ball until they stop it. And the Bills really never got negative plays, meaning putting them into second and 12 or third and long to make the Patriots have to do those things. And heck, even on a third and five, the Patriots were quarterback sneaking because they knew they were going to go for it on fourth down. So it was a great game plan. But despite all that, I give him credit. If Josh Allen makes a couple of plays, now Bill Belichick doesn't look like the smartest man alive. And everybody's saying, why'd you only throw the ball three times? So it was one of those game plans where I think going in, they knew they were going to run the ball based on how Indy ran the ball against the Bills a couple weeks before that.
And you're absolutely right. A couple of catches, Dawson Knox had some drops. You have the missed field goal. The outcome is different. Everybody's going, whoa, you should have thrown the ball more. And they're praising Josh Allen. I think we saw one thing. Buffalo, again, and Josh Allen's improvement, they made the wise decision, knowing where Buffalo is located and maybe half their season's going to be played in bad football. Josh Allen is like the perfect windy quarterback or the perfect Buffalo quarterback with the way that he throws the football.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And that's, you know, every year come draft time, we're always talking about fit into organizations and fit into weather and fit into offensive schemes or defensive schemes. And he is. Like, if you ask the Bills what other quarterback you would like to have in Buffalo, there aren't a whole lot of guys just because of the arm strength you need, the conditions you're going to play in, the elements. So he is a perfect fit for Buffalo, and I know he didn't play great the other night. He's been a little up and down, a little streaky this year, but he is probably about as good a fit as you can imagine for that city and what they go through with the elements.
Did you see the final play between the Lions and the Vikings, the walk-off?
I did.
What defensively do you think Minnesota was trying to do?
I don't know. I really don't. First of all, I don't understand Minnesota's struggles. I played for Mike Zimmer. His son, Adam Zimmer, is a co-defense coordinator. And they've been dealing with a lot of injuries, you know, not having Barr and Kendricks, two all-pro linebackers. So I know they've been trying to find ways to mask the lack of depth they have on their defense, but they have not been playing very good defensive football. And I think in that situation, whether it's somebody playing DB or safety or corner that hasn't been playing a whole lot and you just not having time to rep situational football, you have to understand at that point in the game, you can't sink into the end zone. You can't just let a guy run to the front, to the goal line, sit down and catch it in front of you. Make them throw the ball to the back line. Make him make a great pass. And I just think it was, sometimes players have lapse in judgment based on what the situation is with football game.
Why do you think it's not working in Minnesota? But beyond a little bit of what you said, because if you look at the pieces, this should be a team that's atop the NFC North, but they've been involved in a lot of close games and just, I mean, the defensive lapse, and you got a defensive head coach, the lapses they had against Detroit, you go, what is going on? Is this the end of Mike Zimmer? I mean, it almost seems that's supposed to work, but it's not working at all.
Yeah, it's something that has gone on there the last couple of years, and you know, a lot of attention has been put on Kirk Cousins as a quarterback. Is he good enough to get it done? And in the meantime, while everybody's been bashing Kirk Cousins and watching him, the defense is slowly getting older. The defense is getting worse. The defense is not keeping you in games. And there is tons of talent on the offensive side of the ball. There's no doubt about it. Dalvin Cook, if he's healthy, and the number of receivers, Thielen and Jefferson, and all those guys are good enough to win a lot of football games. But defensively, whether it's they're not staying healthy or they haven't been drafting well enough or people are catching up to the scheme that Mike's been running, there has to be changes, whether it's schematically or you have to rotate some new coaches through there or something because things just feel like they're a little bit stale in Minnesota.
Why don't we believe in Arizona? They're the first team in the league to 10.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona's certainly not a team that rolls off the tip of your tongue when you talk about the best team in the NFL, the number one team. They've been winning without Kyler Murray. I mean, something has been done right in Arizona. They play in a tough division, and everybody will tell you the NFC West has some really good football in it. They've won games with Colt McCoy They've won games without DeAndre Hopkins. We sit here and talk about all these teams with injuries and making an excuse. They haven't made that an excuse. I believe they've drafted well. They've added good free agents. Their front office, their general manager, has done a really good job. And Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, they obviously believe in what he's doing there. And I give Cliff Kingsbury this credit. He came from the college game where he wanted to throw the ball all around. And he thought, a lot of these college guys come to the NFL, Chip Kelly, and think, well, we're just going to do what we do. He's made a huge adjustment. He started to run the ball more. He realized how important being physical and winning the game in the trenches is at the next level. And so he's made a nice adjustment, and that is a good team. I still don't know if I would say they're better than the Packers. I just think it's a little bit of the blue blood part of us that like to list the Packers and the Cowboys as teams that are better than them.
Great stuff as always, Scott. I appreciate it. By the way, how did our eighth grade team finish up?
We did really good. We played in a tough division. We lost about three games, but the kids from last year to this year made tremendous strides, had a lot of fun, and I told them before the year started, our job is to make you good football players, good people, and to make memories, and we made plenty of good memories, so it was a lot of fun.
Hey, fantastic. Scott, enjoy the football weekend.
Absolutely. Take care.
That's Scott Chandler, who joins us every Wednesday, Super Bowl champion, black shirt. You're 10-2. You should be wrapping your arms around the Cardinals and going, yeah, that's the team in the NFC. But we're hesitant. I think it's Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, I like Murray and Hopkins, and if Murray's healthy and they've got a good defense, but it kind of comes back to the head coach. Do you trust him when you get to games that matter, when you flip the calendar? We're going to find out on Monday night. They get the Rams at home.
It didn't matter who the quarterback was. They were able to insert Colt McCoy and win games.
Colt McCoy won. Didn't he win in San Francisco and Seattle, I believe? But we just do not want to buy into the Cardinals.
Yeah, something about it. Even knowing that, I'm still like, I don't know if they'll do it.
Because in the NFL this year, we go week to week trying to figure out who's a good team and who do we trust, and Arizona just continues to win. Now, they're going to get the treatment. And this may change because they get the standalone game on Monday night where everybody is watching. You haven't got an opportunity to watch the Cardinals because they have not been on national TV. You've heard about Kyler Murray is back. Man, if Kyler Murray had played the whole year, would he be the MVP? Now you get the standalone game where everybody gets to watch and we make these big judgments on one particular game. Well, in Arizona's case, that's a huge game. To play the Rams as you're battling for playoff positioning, your division, you play them on Monday night. Maybe we wake up Tuesday morning and the thought on Arizona is much different if they win that game and all of a sudden they're 11-2.
Maybe that is the reason why. I haven't gotten to take a great look at them like a lot of like the Packers or the Bucks or somebody like that.
It's just they play in the desert. The Cardinals are not featured. They play a lot in that 305 game that is not the national second window game. You don't see a lot of their highlights. But they're 10-2, and they've got a really, really good roster. Well, everybody will get to watch them on Monday night when they're on ESPN and also on ABC. And then just get out the way, and we can have Green Bay in the Super Bowl playing maybe Kansas City. Because I don't think Buffalo is going to – I think my Bills-Packers pick is falling apart. But the Bills get the Bucks this weekend. That's a mammoth game for Buffalo because there are all kinds of doubters on if Buffalo can beat a good team.
They're the last seed in the AFC right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really afford to lose this one, even though it's a cross-conference game.
Even if Buffalo makes the playoffs, but they're the seventh seed, that's a major disappointment. This was a team that was supposed to repeat and win their division again. And something happened. Kind of, they beat Kansas City, and in Kansas City's defense then is, you know, now it's completely different. But they ran over Kansas City, and then they lost to Tennessee when Allen was denied at the goal line, and they just have been a malaise. They're about a 500 football team, whether 3-4 in their last seven, and now they play the Buccaneers. I think if we look at who is prepared for a run, and this is why the Packers are really, really in a good spot, is that bye is so crucial of when that bye comes. And Green Bay got it at the right time. Now they're back, kind of like Tampa Bay last year. Tampa Bay wasn't playing exceptionally well, and all of a sudden Tampa Bay, which had stayed healthy, got a late bye, got a refresh, and they took off.
Aaron Rodgers extremely motivated. kind of dangerous, right, in that situation?
God, I again, hug a Bears fan. Going to be miserable on Sunday night to watch the Bears against the Packers. Will any Bear go after Aaron Rodgers for his trash talk in Chicago earlier this year, or it's like, you know what, we're going to fire our coach. It's a long year. We're just moving on.
If somebody sacks him, it would not shock me if they stood over him and yelled, "I own you." even if the score is 40-7
See,
or something.
Here's the thing about trash-talking Rodgers. I bet he just laughs. Like, he doesn't get upset.
No, he doesn't.
And then you're like, dang, I used my best one.
That was a good line.
One quick final thought. We're going to talk more about Donovan Raiola as we move on. We haven't dived deep into Mark Whipple. I blame Nebraska basketball. When you think of, like, let me ask you this. When you go to your doctor, do you hope that your doctor is, like, in good health? Looks like he works out. You don't want to walk in and your doctor is 5'8", 410 pounds.
Yeah, I don't want a portly doctor. Correct, yes.
When you think of an offensive line coach, you think of a stout person, gravelly voice, you don't, and maybe a bigger fella. You
rough know, they, hands.
Yes, they've calluses.
Yes.
They maybe have some like mangled fingers.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at the offensive line coach and you go, that looks like an offensive line coach.
Absolutely.
You don't want to have an offensive line coach that is like 5'10" and weighs 185 pounds and has pleated pants.
All right, guys, line up.
And his offensive linemen dwarf him. That's the offensive line coach? Like, of all the position groups, the offensive line coach probably needs to look as close to his position players as possible.
Correct.
The most recent picture I saw of Donovan Raiola, you don't wonder if he's an offensive line coach.
No.
You don't say, do you coach, and he kind of looks like maybe he coached multiple positions, like a defensive guy. He looks like an offensive line coach. Bigger guy, you know, we played offensive line, but he's got, bald head. He's got the beard. He's got like a big beard.
Strength coach, the other position that you want to look like the room in which you reside.
True. Can't have a fat guy as your position coach. Like, you can't have a guy that's overweight. Like, just obese.
Correct.
One more! One more! One more rep! Oh, my God. See, I would wonder about the hiring process. Like, if you were... Like I could not be a strength and conditioning coach. I think I'm in better shape, but I don't look like I work out, you know, and lift weights every day. Like... If I got the job as a major strength and conditioning coach, wouldn't you worry about the person or have major questions about the person that hired me?
Yeah.
What did you see? Well, you should have seen what he did at his last job. Okay, but doesn't that guy have to convince his athletes that, you know, lift weights, be in shape, this is what we do?
Do as I say, not as I do.
But Donovan Raiola, he checks the first box. He looks like a... offensive line coach. And around here, where we critique everything, how long will that last? See, strength and conditioning coaches also should be bald.
Yeah, very little hair.
Yeah, I don't want a good-looking strength and conditioning coach. If I want a good-looking strength and conditioning coach, I'll join a club. For my football team, I want a bald strength and conditioning coach that has got like a deep voice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
We fixed everything. Halftime, halfway through the week. Coming up next is the mailbag. Somebody just said, what would you want as your quarterback coach? What if you had a fat guy coaching quarterbacks? What's his hair look like? Does he have good hair?
Yeah, I need more info.
I just think as an offensive line, of all the positions, and a lot of these positions are coaches that are coaching them played that position. So they're gonna kind of look like the players that they're coaching. You just can't have like a small fella coach an offensive line. That's tough. Like, what if you walk into your position group room and you've just been hired and you've got 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 290, 310, 340. And a guy walks in and he is like 5'10" and he weighs 165 pounds. And you're and maybe he is the brightest person in the room. You're immediately going to go, what do you know about offensive line play? My response then, if I was in that role, very sarcastic, would say, I played a lot of Madden. I've watched a lot of football. That'd be a good start in that position room. Mailbag coming up next on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone. What is coming up next is another Thursday night of NFL football. The big matchup tomorrow night, important game for both teams. It is the Vikings and the Steelers, and FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger, giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Does Big Ben, after some class-ish moments against the Ravens, does he continue to play well? Or what about the Vikings in pure desperation? Look at the money line. Look at the fourth quarter total. Put them all together. You could be a big winner with a same game parlay. FanDuel Sportsbook is making betting simple. They're always hooking up with great offers. Number one rated sportsbook app in America. Easy to use, safe and secure. Plus, when you win, you get paid in as little as 2 hours. If you're already a FanDuel Sportsbook user, FanDuel is hooking up all customers with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 too. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code Gary162 before this Thursday night matchup. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code Gary162 so they know I sent you exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 over, present in Iowa. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Maximum bonus $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.